It's the Let's Go Eat and Drink Show with hosts Jimmy Santangelo and Bill Allred. I'm your announcer, Zach Caton, and we're coming to you live on tape from the beautifully appointed Media Center at Visit Salt Lake. Wouldn't you like to record in a studio like this? Maybe you can. Visit www.visitsaltlake.com. Our guests today are from the Pygmalion Theater Company, director Morag Shepherd and actor Ariana Farber. They're involved in the latest Pygmalion production, Last Lists of My Mad Mother. And now here are your hosts, Jimmy and Bill.
You know, I've forgotten how to do this, really, so I don't know. I want to.
It's been 2 weeks.
By the way, to our growing audience, which camera am I on, Dawson?
You're in this one.
That one right here. Okay. I want to thank our growing audience. You get a hold of us at the Let's Go Eat Show at gmail.com. The email has come pouring in.
An email has loaded your inbox.
And we're up to. You'll be happy to hear this. We're up to 25 listeners.
Okay.
25 viewers and listeners of this podcast.
Very nice.
It's great.
Very nice.
Now we do have a sponsor.
Yes.
Which the only way we could get this sponsor is that we have 25. And they said 25. Okay.
At least 25.
It's Beehive Cheese, which is sitting here in front of us. In a league of its own, I'm reading this copy they provide.
Very nice.
In a league of its own, Utah's Beehive Cheese elevates humble cheddar to artisanal greatness with spirited flavors that spark conversation. We hope that's true here today with our lovely and charming guests, which we'll meet in a moment. Producing award-winning cheeses that bring friends and family together, Beehive Cheese earned first place at the 2022 American Cheese Society competition and were named makers of the best American cheese in the World Cheese Awards 2021, earning the Slow Food Snail of Approval late 2022. Beehive Cheese is also one of the only seven American cheesemakers to be B Corp certified. Huh?
Huh?
B Corp certified.
That's CD.
And if you know what that is, let us know. Because I don't. All right. And now let me introduce our guests. Our special guests today, they are both here representing primarily Pygmalion Theater Company. We have with us Morag Shepherd here, and we have with us also Ariana Farber. In this case, Ms. Shepherd is director of a play we're going to talk about, and Ariana is one of the actors in that play.
Yep.
It is The Last Lists of My Mad Mother.
Yes.
And it was written by Julie Jensen. And it's been produced around here before, hasn't it?
It has. I believe it's been, I haven't ever seen it, but I believe it's been performed twice by Slack and Pygmalion before.
Yeah. It's I know it's been performed in other parts of the country
as well.
Julie Jensen, a local playwright, grew up in Beaver, Utah, and went to Southern Utah. Now, let's talk a little bit just quickly about Pygmalion Theater, established in 1995 up in Ogden by an old schoolmate of mine, and I acted in many plays with Rebecca Fleming. It was Rebecca Fleming Jones at the time, and she started this theater company, Pygmalion, with Nancy Roth. And Morag, why did she start it? Why did Rebecca start this?
I actually am not sure about that. I don't know Rep's story. Do you? You might know better than me.
So, yes, I know very little, but I can say the cool thing about Reb is, even though she's no longer the artistic director mm-hmm. of Pygmalion, she's actually in this show, and she's playing the mother. But I do know that they set up, you know, from the conversations that I've had with Reb, and actually I had the opportunity to work with her when Pygmalion was still really young, in the early 2000s. And they set up, she talks about the early days of Pygmalion where they got clothes out of their closet
mm-hmm.
and, you know, set pieces out of her living room.
Yeah.
And they, you know, just an attempt to do work that they thought was interesting.
I think Rebecca said to me that she and her partner wanted to give voice to women's ideas.
Oh, yeah.
Give voice to women and women plays and things like that.
True.
Yeah.
That's still their mission.
And that would certainly be true of this play, right?
Yeah, absolutely. She actually auditioned for this show. And she auditioned and just blew me out of the water.
No wait, she's a founder of the company and you made her audition?
I didn't. They just hired me to direct. Oh. I don't know.
And what, direct you do.
Yeah.
Well, we'll talk about the play specifically coming up in a second, but Morag Shepherd has a really great theater background, co-founder of the Sackerson Theater Company, which is still around, right?
Yes, we're doing a show coming up.
Ah, good. A co-founder of something called Immigrant's Daughter Theater Company.
Yep, that's our theater company.
That's you guys.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And if you know any of Sackerson's work, Hindsight, A Brief Waltz in a Little Room, The Distance of the Moon, these are all shows I've seen. Thank You, Theo Bromine, which was incredibly interesting. And Do You Want to See Me Naked? You wrote that, right?
Yes, I did.
And that it was just a daring and incredible play.
Thank you.
I've seen your name around, but I didn't know you also directed.
Yes, I do a lot of. I actually direct more than I write lately. I direct for Pygmalion, for our company, for Wasatch Theater Company, another theater company. I do all the companies, so yeah.
Anybody who will pay you, you'll go.
Yes,
you'll
yes,
go
absolutely. Direct. If I like the piece, yeah. I'll do it. Yep.
Now I know that it's. I know a little bit about your background, but tell me how. Tell me about the name Morag, first of all. I mean, I know you're from Scotland.
Yep.
And that's, what's the meaning of the name Morag?
So in English, Morag is Sarah. It translates to Sarah.
Ah, there we go.
And you say Morag.
Morag.
Yeah, Morag, down here.
And so how did a young teenage lass from Scotland end up in America? Why?
So actually, well, it's a really interesting story to me. My father converted to the Mormon Church. He's English.
I was going to say.
And then he went on a mission to Scotland, converted my mother, had an affair with my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
I'm glad you admitted that.
Yeah, had an affair. Mm-hmm. They got married, had me.
It's only 25 people, so...
Yeah. And then, you know, I ended up at BYU. They left the church. Then I left the church.
Ah. I just somehow, the minute you walked into the room, we've never met, but I think I know this story.
Yeah.
I kind of know what this
story is. You know, affairs, it's basically Outlander.
Yeah.
There you go.
And Ariana Farber, you are one of the actors in The List of My Mad Mother. Tell us a little bit about your background.
I'm an actress and a playwright and also director. We produced, for about 2 years now, we've produced a body of work together. And, you know, I got my undergraduate degree in theater mm-hmm. from the University of Utah and have been working in that space ever since.
And what might people have seen you in?
Worship?
Yes, we just were, our company was just nominated, I guess awarded,
mm-hmm.
The number one show, one of the co-number one shows in the state of Utah for, well, the Utah Enlightenment for
mm-hmm.
2023.
Mm-hmm.
And the name of the show was Worship, and I was in that show, written by Morag, directed by Stephanie Stroud. It was a production that we did in the Utah Alliance Art Space area.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a found space, site-specific type of thing.
And are you making your career at this?
I have a day job. Yeah. I work in economic development.
Mm-hmm.
This is what gives us life, and
you do your day job so you can do this.
Yeah. You've got to be able to afford it somehow.
Yeah.
It's an expensive hobby.
I mean, that's why, you know, we were talking before we started the show. I didn't stay in acting.
Right.
I went to New York and tried to do that whole thing, and acted in regional theater companies. But once your job is finished, once that acting job is finished, and they hand you your last check, and they say, well, shit, I'm out of a job again. I got to go find another one. And it's just not steady as a general rule unless you really... I mean, I have friends who I went to school with who have made a career being working actors, and that's terrific, but it's really hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk a little bit about... Before we talk about... We'll talk about food coming up.
Sure.
Let's talk about the play itself, The Lists of My Mad Mother. You want to tell us a little bit about it?
So the play itself deals with Alzheimer's disease and specifically the complications that go along with the caretaking of somebody with Alzheimer's disease. And the main character is the caretaker. And she goes in between dealing directly with her mother and narrating on the situation. So it's this lovely balance of beautiful imagery and language, and then dealing directly with her mother. And the mother, her, you kind of see the disintegration of her mind, and it's just really heartbreaking and beautiful and funny.
So the caretaker, is it Dot? Is that
Dot?
Her?
Mm-hmm.
Dot is the caretaker. She's there with her mother in the house.
Yes.
And she's the main character. The mother, played by my old friend Rebecca, is not the main character.
Well, really. I mean, I would say they're in contention, mm-hmm. right?
Right, but it's from the point of view of Dot.
And you play Sis, the sister, who can just kibitz from afar. You don't have to be there, right?
Right. I think everybody relates to that character, you know, mm-hmm. in their life. I've talked to a lot of folks.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They're like, oh, there's one in every family. Mm-hmm. Calls you up,
tells you what to do.
While you're doing it.
Yeah,
while the other person's doing it.
Why are you doing this? You need to do this. You should do this. And it's like, you're not even.
And she lands the comedy too. It gives you some relief from the tension and the pressure. She just comes on and says these like really pretentious things and really relatable.
I hate to put you on the spot. Do you have a pretentious line that you say off the top of your head?
The weight, like.
Oh yeah.
Go for walks. Yeah. Like, go on your little walks.
Yeah, yeah. So she's complaining that while she's taking care of her mother, mm-hmm. that she's been gaining weight. She's like, go for more walks.
She's
like, go for more walks. Go for three or four
That'll
walks
fix it.
A day.
Yeah,
fix
yeah
it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There we go. Fixed.
Yeah, solved. Go for three or four short walks a day. Don't eat like they do. It's bad for you.
You're funny, but I think you're just kind of not a good person in a lot of ways. I mean, the character does care in the long run about what's going on, right?
Oh, I think absolutely. Mm. And I think there's that element of, you know, guilt that's mm-hmm. associated with.
Mm. I'm not there.
I'm not there. Mm. I'm not really sharing in this the way I should be.
Yeah.
The thing that's really cool about this piece is that it was it's set in the she wrote it in the 90s, and I think that the concern with Alzheimer's is still prevalent, and we don't have any idea how better to treat it than we did when it was written. It's a very current, and most people have someone in their family dealing with this, and mm-hmm. so it's relatable for sure.
We should point out that this it's called the Lists. Last Lists of My Mad Mother, and it's at the Rose Wagner.
Yep.
And when are the run dates?
February 9th.
I have no idea.
We open February 9th and go till February 24th. It's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Do we do a Sunday show?
Will it be ready by the opening if you don't even know when it opens?
I just do what's in front of me.
I see.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be good.
She doesn't do dates. She doesn't do logistics and administration. She's an artist.
I don't blame you. I just go on the radio and everybody does stuff around me.
Yeah.
I just talk. That's all I do.
Don't worry. The tickets are available. You can purchase them.
How do you get tickets for this show?
You can go on the website for Pygmalion Theater Company, and you can get tickets to Artix.
Good job.
Is it a full length play or is it a one act?
It is. I would say it's in between. They are marketing it as a full length play, but it runs about 65.
60. So no intermission.
No intermission. No.
It's
fluid.
Intermissions are out of style.
Out of style. No one wants to see
Nobody wants to see that.
Only three characters, correct?
Yes.
Three characters. I must come and see it because I haven't seen Rebecca for a long time.
I mean,
fabulous.
And I'll bring some pictures I have of her together in a play. I know we were in at least two plays together. And
shout out to Tam Howell, who also plays Dot.
And she is
fabulous.
Yeah.
So funny.
I mean, just I'm surrounded by all stars. So I'm really blessed.
Simple settings, I would assume.
Yeah, absolutely.
First I was reading about it a little bit and I was wondering, because you call in, whether we actually ever see you. That there was just a voice, you know, that could be considered. It was just a voice calling in.
Yeah.
That would be.
No,
but we
there.
Do see you. We see you.
Yeah.
And she's done some really, really brilliant things with the direction, where she's integrated me mm-hmm. in ways that you wouldn't anticipate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So kind of leveraging the space and doing a lot of really creative artistic choices.
All right.
Direction.
It's the Last List of My Mad Mother. I'm excited to see it. Now let's talk a little bit about food, shall we, Jimmy?
We have a Beehive Cheese, their sea salt. And Beehive Cheese, I don't know if you're familiar with it, local producer, and they have a mother's cheese where all their cheeses are rind and they're all a rubbed cheese. So if you heard of Barely Buzzed, that's a cheese where they'll encase the rind with fine coffee ground, almost like a Turkish coffee ground.
It's really
so
good.
So that absorbs in over time,
infuses.
And what's neat is when you go into the core of the cheese versus the rind, gonna taste drastically different. So it's fun to be able to taste them side by side and different. This is the Sea Hive, which is sea salt and honey, both local, that they'll encase. Gauze wrap, and it age anywhere from about 6 to 9 months, if I recall correctly.
Oh, interesting.
But what's neat about it is Beehive Cheese, right here in Utah, started the whole kind of concept of mass manufacturing in the product line of these packed rubbed cheeses. Some producers might do one or two offs of it. That was their core technique. And now it's a little sub-industry today where other dairy farmers, cheese makers do the same thing.
You know, we ask you guys on a little bit of a pre-show questionnaire about food preferences and what you like, and you were very specific about a bunch of things that you liked, Ariana. It was I want to ask you, how do you let's see, what, how did I write this? You don't have to. Oysters and champagne. You really like oysters and champagne.
Yes, I do.
But brie and balutes.
Brie. I like brie.
Brie cheese. Mm-hmm. And explain to I've been very interested in balutes ever since I heard about them and saw something on TV about eating them. Tell people, saying it right?
Yes.
A balut?
It's a Filipino food.
Awful.
I spent some time in the Philippines. Love the Philippines, by the way. Mm. It's my second favorite country in the whole wide world. Mm. And when I went, I said, I'll try anything except that fertilized duck egg. I'm not gonna try that.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the end of the trip, I gave in. And I was like, you know, when in the Philippines,
so
do what the Philippines.
It looks to me like there's just a little, just a barely formed duck in there.
Yeah, there is. And it depends on how long. You can buy it at different stages of fertilization. Oh.
And then it's like there. It's like
I
there's.
I need a drink with this guy.
It's cooked, and there's so it's like broth.
Yes, it's like a little cup of soup.
Yeah.
So it depending on how
you make it sound so quaint, and it's not. It's a little cup.
Have you had a balut before?
Yes. I could barely make it through.
Really?
Yeah. No, so it's just a little cup of soup, and depending on how fertilized you want the chick to be,
mm-hmm.
mine was fairly fertilized. There was feathers. You don't have to eat. You don't have to eat the chick either. A lot of the native people just drink the soup.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what I would.
Yeah,
I would
just
say.
Drink the soup.
Yeah.
But sometimes you get some feathers.
Should get a little bit of that.
A little bit. Yeah. But then some folks are hardcore. They eat the whole chick. Mm-hmm. Why waste?
I was always worried about fertilized chicks when I was young, but that's a different...
A whole different subject.
Sorry, that's a whole different
Bring
story.
Bring out the champagne and caviar. Hey.
And Morag Shepherd, the director of the last list of My Mad Mother, you said, whenever I go out to dinner, I'm usually disappointed.
I just really resent spending so much money on the food.
Is that what it is?
I think it is. I go out to eat. It's not that great. And I'm down $100. And I get very resentful.
Well, I mean, I understand because a lot of times you go to a place and you spend a fair amount of money and you go, why did they put so fucking much salt on this?
Yeah, or not enough. It's kind of flat. That's how I feel about it. I don't know.
Kind of some generic place.
Yeah.
Like, I think if you're going to go out, do the whole thing.
I know.
Go
I'm
big
pretty
or go home.
Go big. Yeah,
literally,
yeah, like to
make food at home because you can make some fabulous
That's
dishes.
How I
usually
feel.
Eat at home.
Yeah, absolutely.
There was a guy in the news this week, by the way. I hope this isn't one of the things you're about to bring up. He said, I'm going to see how cheaply I can eat for 1 week. And he said, I know what I'll do. I'm going to eat And he said, I'd never had these before. I'm going to go to Costco, and I'm going to eat nothing but the Costco hot dog special.
Buck and a half?
Yeah, buck and a half. You get a big hot dog
yeah.
and
a drink.
And a drink. And he did that for a week, ate every meal, you know, and he said, it was $50 to eat for a week, and I never got tired of them. They were very good, and I lost 4 pounds.
Because he wasn't snacking, maybe.
Yeah. I guess.
Because he wasn't snacking.
Yeah.
Don't tell my husband this story.
He'll do it. Don't do it.
What?
Those burps must have been rough.
You know, when you add something, Dawson, kind of class it up a little bit. Oh, well, I wanted to talk. Fertilized chicks is not.
Mama Fuco, though, you enjoyed in
New
York.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you can receive, if you do an online order, of their dry pack varying flavored ramens. Mm. And those are really good. Wide noodle.
Yeah.
The straight, you know, so and it's all mm-hmm. very, if you do it per direction, it's really quite good.
Yeah, if I'm going to eat out, it's going to be now. It'll be things that I can't make myself. So it'll be like that kind of stuff. That's ramen and Indian and Thai. Mm-hmm. But if I can make it myself better, I'm not paying.
Didn't David Chang close down Momofuku?
He did.
Yeah, in New York.
Is there one in Vegas now? Yeah, that was a while ago.
I think there is, but anyway. Mm. So Jimmy Santangelo.
Yes.
The king of the Mr. Wine Bill, Academy right. of Utah. WineAcademyOfUtah.com. Shall we have a little bit of news?
Yes. And, you know, I didn't mention this. What do you think of the spritz, girls? That nice bitterness, right?
You know what it tastes like? Mm. A little bit? Iron Brew.
Oh, look at that. So you have spritz. This is kind of like a Aperol spritz. Uh-huh. So, you know, the carbonated water, kind of the sweeter cousin to a Campari. Campari. Mm-hmm. They might have used Cappelletti in this. I'm not certain, but it's mm-hmm. nice. Got a little bubbly bubble. Anyways.
I like it. Do you like it?
Is there any
sweet
food and drink in the play? The List of My Mad Mother?
They mention soup, but yeah,
they don't. You don't eat anything?
I mean, they mention honey bunches of oats.
But she only wants three things.
But no eating on stage or no drinking on stage?
No, not really.
No. That's really hard to do.
Mm-hmm. We've done it before.
Yeah, well, I would like you. Yeah, you have to be a master of all kinds of things in the theater. But,
yeah. We've done it before,
difficult.
But not in this one.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, we drink wine for a minute.
Yeah.
We're having a little wine.
That's true. I forgot about that.
When we're talking.
Okay.
On.
All right.
Is it actually
it
wine?
No.
It
no.
could be.
It's not wine. We can't do that.
No.
We have to remember our lines.
Doesn't it irritate the hell out of you as an actor and or a director, though, when you watch television? And you see people with like Starbucks Go cups, and there's obviously nothing in that goddamn cup, the way they're wielding it around,
oh,
you know,
yeah.
or when there's grocery bags being carried in, and there's obviously not really much in the grocery bag.
They didn't go to acting school and learn how to
Uta Hagen
that.
Yeah, I always insisted.
Naughty that.
No, I always insisted there has to be liquid in this, or I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
Has
okay.
to be.
Okay.
Yeah.
It
anyway.
Creates the realism of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Uta Hagen, is that a term for?
She's like, a famous acting teacher.
Yeah. Mm. So it would be act as though there is liquid in the cup when there isn't. So like, what would that entail?
How would you hold it?
Yeah.
How would you hold it? What would that? How
look,
would that
now you're getting an acting class
yeah,
here.
Exactly.
Did you know?
You know who? You probably have seen Uta Hagen, because if you've ever seen the original Werewolf, I believe it's Uta Hagen who is the old gypsy woman who says, even a man who is pure at heart and says his prayers by night can become a wolf when the wolfbane blooms and the moon is full and bright. I think that's Uta Hagen.
Oh.
Thank you. Pretty Thank you good. Very much.
Thank
Splash
you.
Of news?
That, I think that was your...
That's my audition if
your
you ever
audition.
Wanna, if you ever want to put me in one of your plays.
We got it.
Yes.
Well done.
I actually have a play.
You just cast me?
There you just got cast.
Ariana was like, actually.
That's fantastic. All right. Splash the news. Britain switching to smaller, high-quality alcoholic drinks. So some news from your homeland here. In a recent article from The Guardian, there's been an increase in preference for the desire to be healthier, and that's fueling the trend for 100 milliliter taster bottles. That's a little over 3 ounces. So the shift comes from a desire to be healthier, experts say, with drinking among UK teenagers and young people falling. I almost read that as failing.
Well, it's the same thing.
Yeah. Kids these days, not drinking.
Come on, you kids.
Guy, you gotta kick it up. For example, Tesco, local retailer, sold 25% more low and non-alcoholic beer in June of 2023 than in the previous dry January. So even when people were intending to have a dry January, the following June even drank less low alcohol. So crazy.
I'm glad to hear it, though.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Wine and wine spirit producers are taking note of the rise of the younger generation not drinking as much as previous generations and adjusting packaging sizes across all markets. Matt Day, the owner of Degustation, Degustation, an independent wine shop and bar in East London, said, quote, drinking a whole bottle just doesn't fit with the healthier lifestyles of many people these days. Yet until now, very few decent wines have been available in smaller formats. So what he has done to meet the demand, his shop has started offering handcrafted fine wines in 100 milliliter taster tubes.
Chemical tubes.
Yeah. These samples can be taken away in tubes with prices ranging as low as £5 starting at for your fine wine product. So, Bill, what do you think about tasting wine from a test tube?
I'm fine with that. I'll drink
35
wine.
Of them. I need a dozen of them.
Sure. I'll drink wine from whatever's available to drink it in.
Fair enough.
Just any container.
Sure.
Here's something that you've touched on, Bill, with X96. Paris Ratatouille restaurant loses 1.3 million worth of wine. Actually, the story I was referring to is coming up in next segment. Pardon that. Paris Ratatouille restaurant loses 1.3 million pounds worth of wine.
They lost it. It was over there on the shelf.
Now it's gone. Check this out. The BBC has reported that, quote, wine has vanished from Le Tour d'Argent, one of Paris's most famous restaurants and the inspiration for the film Ratatouille. Mm-hmm. Romani Conti, one of the most expensive wines in the world, is among the bottles taken from the 442-year-old restaurant. This is what happened. The wine could have gone missing any time since January of 2020. A complaint was filed to French police, but no evidence of a burglary has been found. The loss was discovered during a routine inventory of the over 300,000 bottles at the, quote, largest cellar in Paris, many say. Following the extensive renovation in 2022, that's what happened. They had a renovation. They went under renovation. They didn't take inventory since 2020.
Oh.
Now they're open again. And it's 2024, though. It's a current article, so I don't know what they were doing in the last 2 years. The restaurant opened in August of last year, and to celebrate its reopening, a list cataloging the contents of its cellar was compiled, thereby discovering the loss of inventory and missing bottles.
If there is a large rat there named Remy, I would question him.
First suspect.
I would
lock him up.
Just saying.
Interrogate
him. They like it. They like the wine.
That's on right. A final note, this is fun. On a final note, the wine list itself weighs around 8 kilos, or a little more than 17 pounds, and is to be wheeled out to diners on a trolley. And that's your splash of news.
Jimmy Santangelo. The play is called The Last Lists of My Mad Mother, which signifies to me that this woman going through Alzheimer's is a list maker. Yeah?
I think that, yes, and she likes vocabulary and lists off the correct ways to say things.
I'll be there.
Sounds awesome.
It opens February 9th, and it's at the Rose Wagner Theater. If you want to get ticket information, you can go to pygmalionproductions.org. I'm sure the Rose Wagner probably has some information on their website.
And Art Tix. Yes.
Just go to Art Tix. The Last Lists of My Mad Mother, directed by Morag Shepherd, and also ably assisted as an actor, Ariana Farber. I want to thank both of you for being with us. It's been a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you.
And,
cheers
to you all.
Yeah, cheers. I can't reach that far. Thank you.
Cheers.
Cheers. I get up at 3 in the morning. I have long days. All right. So that's about it. If you want to yell at us or ask us questions, the Let's Go Eat Show at gmail.com. Thank you to Dawson Dow over there for producing the show.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you for watching and listening. And thank you to Beehive Cheese for giving us a hunk of cheese.
A hunk of love.
Yeah. That's it. See you next time.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Let's Go Eat and Drink Show with Bill Allred and Jimmy Santangelo. You can contact Jimmy at www.thewineacademyofutah.com. As for Bill Allred, it might be best to just leave him alone. Trust me. Comments, questions, or angry complaints to the management should be directed to the Let's Go Eat Show at gmail.com. The Let's Go Eat and Drink Show is produced by Dawson Dow. Our theme music was composed and recorded by Doug Wild. Recording facilities as needed are furnished by the Visit Salt Lake Media Center at www.visitsaltlake.com. The show is a Double Plus production. I'm Zach Caton. I was going to try to end this with a clever Pygmalion quote, but I'm actually afraid of theaters. It's coming.